What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org, come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org.
It's just a ride, and we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace.
And now, coming to you live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in Duluth, Minnesota, Dreaming the New American Dream, with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Pelichek.
Welcome to the New American Dream radio show. The lying and cheating continues. The Pauls do posture and pretend, as if there's some real difference. As if they want to be your friend. Not far from 1600 Pennsylvania, real people starve or steal, living a life of misery, while liars their power seal. Obama's outbushed Bush. What's next? Have we any choice? Is there really any chance of anyone hearing our voice? Milt Romney cheats on his taxes. That might be a bit of a plus if he weren't so scary in other ways, it might be a reason to vote for him. Newt cheats at everything, I think, and it comes out smelling like a rose somehow, although it might be a rose that was dragged through the manure pile on the way to help it grow. Santorum was vilified in the forum in Congress. Well, he's supposed to be one of the dumbest ever. That should make him eminently qualified. Not that most of the highly intelligent presidents have done all that well. You know, like Wilson, Clinton. Of course, Kennedy was a genius, and he might have been great if he hadn't gotten shot, but we don't really even know that. We like to dream that he would have been. The window is open for continued dreaming just because he didn't make it. Ron Paul seems the best of the current Republican lot. It doesn't look like he has much chance of getting nominated. And he's pretty well out there, but it'd be different. I'm not sure it really matters too much who's in there, who goes up against Obama, if they beat him or don't. And who knows? I'm not convinced that any of our votes really count anyway. So, you know, beating somebody or not is strictly a matter of who they want to put in office. And that's the way it is in America. Which liar is going to enjoy life in a comfortable D.C. mansion while we, the people, pay for the whole thing with lives, money, with whatever you can think of, and it never stops? That's a pretty down note And we usually like to try to think of positive things here on the New American Dream Radio Show. So I'm hoping maybe you'll get something a little more positive from my friend and co-host, Mike Palachek, an American writer.
Chuck, how you doing tonight? Tonight we're going to welcome Vic Sado. He's a musician from Berkeley, California. And also we're going to welcome Kevin Barrett. He is a former university professor, radio show host, activist. Kevin is living in Lone Rock, Wisconsin. I think that's near Madison. It's again time for the New American Dream Radio Show, the American Russian novel, All We Need Is More Vodka Radio Hour. We have the winds of our own totalitarian society freezing the land solid, a tortured tundra. Some of those who have spoken the truth are no longer here. Their chairs at the Thanksgiving adult big table are empty. Their relatives have sent them to Siberia with a roll of their eyes. So let us begin. Here we go. Scooch up to the samovar, maybe leave your hat and boots on. Fill your peasant hands with a warm drink and listen for the sound of hoofbeats on the ice. The New American Dream means never having to say if some question or idea is not valid. We are allowed to ask any questions that we have. There are no wrong questions. There is no black hidden military budget. There are no UFO files Americans cannot see, no JFK documents that will not be opened during our lifetimes, no destroyed RFK murder photos by the LA police, no evidence from Ground Zero taken away before we can even look at it. We are not the USSR. The 1960s, this is supposed to be America. That is our dream. To become America, the new America, the real hope of the world. We have a dream of bringing the United States politicians, journalists, and generals who have brought about this long 10-year war and debacle to trial and put on TV, just like OJ, every afternoon, so every American can watch, just like the McCarthy hearings and the JFK funeral procession. What we need is a new American dream, not of new homes and toasters and microwaves, but of becoming the type of country we always thought we were. Right now we live on lies, we subsist on lies, but it's not really living. 9/11 was an inside job. Bush, Cheney, Rice, Powell, Rumsfeld, Ashcroft, Obama, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden. You know that they all know that, and yet they refuse to acknowledge what they know. They continue to kill. They allow others to die. Continue to send others to their deaths for a lie. What we need in America is a truth commission like they had in South Africa to heal their broken country. Our country is surely broken as well. We need a truth commission. We need to put certain people on the stand, and we need to be allowed to ask questions. You can't tell me that people like Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert, et cetera, are going to ever, in a million and one years, ask the questions that need to be asked. The troops are not protecting us. That is someone's spin on the day's news. Somebody's advertising slogan, someone else's sermon. The troops serve the empire. They are not heroes. They kill and plunder for the empire. American bases overseas serve nobody but the empire. The heroes in our country are the protesters, the ones who go face to face with the empire. Those in the Occupy movement, those in the Plowshares movement, Catholic workers, etc. Go to the nuclearresistor.org. You have to know that Barack Obama knows the whole truth about the 9/11 attacks. He is complicit. He has lied. He has continued the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and elsewhere based on a lie, and he knows he's lying. He lied right to our faces on national television when he said that Osama bin Laden had been killed and buried at sea. Osama bin Laden was buried at sea, and Jessica Lynch was rescued heroically. The USA does not torture. Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. George Bush won the 2000 and 2004 elections. And see, there is a plane there in that hole in Shanksville. If you look very closely, it went all the way into that hole. No, there's no blood and no bodies and no luggage scattered or plane parts. And we did not get on our hands and knees and dig in there because we knew there were bodies in there. And Osama bin Laden was buried at sea. Remember the anthrax letters which said, "Are you afraid?" Those were not written with a rock and chisel like Fred Flintstone from the recesses of some cave in Afghanistan. Those letters came from persons within our own government. Like a horror movie, and the killer is in the same house with us. These killers are right here with us, and they want us to be afraid. We cannot be afraid.
What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being if it's just been politics all along? What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through all American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people, without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity and that is all energy free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American founders' version? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org.
Elmer Fudd here, the chairman of Democratic Party. Americans are about to elect a new president. It will be either a crazy Republican or a crazy CIA president. They will be liberals and progressive. They're screaming and howling about how we elect a CIA agent president again. They would say, he's not bombed Afghanistan or you drone to kill people. But he did. They would tell us he'd not protect the we perpetrators of 9/11. But he did. And they would say you are a crazy conspiracy theorist. Think about it. They would say, don't worry about what really happened. They would say, vote for the Democratic Party. They are full of people, but they're crazy. Remember, we approach the election season, all good people vote for liberals and progressive because of, don't worry. Don't worry about conspiracy theory. Don't worry about what really happened. Don't worry. We, Democratic Party.
If you stand for the national anthem,
you might be an American.
If you stand for fighter jets flying over the stadium,
you might be an American.
If you stand for the bombing of children,
you might be an American.
If you recite the Pledge of Allegiance,
you might be an American.
If you recite the latest from the TV nightly news as if it were not merely propaganda,
you might be an American.
If you pay for bombs that kill children,
you might be an American.
If you pay for soldiers that kill children,
you might be an American.
If you hate immigrants coming into your town,
you might be an American.
If your great-grandparents were immigrants coming into town,
you might be an American.
If you put your neighbors in cages because they are too poor to live without stealing because you have taken far more than your share,
you might be an American.
If you are the only ones in the world who believe what is printed in American newspapers and presented as news on American television,
you might be an American.
If you believe that 9/11 was done by some guys with box cutters,
you might be an American.
If you believe that Oklahoma City was done alone by Timothy McVeigh,
you might be an American.
If you believe the United States government and the United States government media official stories about Waco and the Gulf of Tonkin and JFK and RFK and MLK,
you might be an American.
If you believe that Senator Paul Wellstone's plane crashed in the North Minnesota woods on accident,
you might be an American.
If you believe you are the hope of the world,
you might be an American.
If you are at this moment driving full speed in your SUV back to your home and your electronic toys from a long weekend at grandma's house, watching three televisions inside your vehicle, hoping to get there in time to get batteries for your new bathtub bubble machine,
you might be an American. Our first guest tonight, Vic Sado, is a singer-songwriter in Berkeley, California. He delivers a diverse selection of original songs in his solo repertoire act or with his Crazy Planet band. Topics range from all the subjects you might expect from somebody who celebrates the folk tradition of Phil Ochs, Woody Guthrie, Pete Seeger, Odetta, Bob Dylan, Tom Paxton, and Steve Earle. Vic, welcome to the New American Dream Radio Show.
He's not here yet. He'll be here any minute.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe we should go ahead and play his song as a lead-in then.
Country was weary and worn. Yeah, W was Dick's little trainee, and the Constitution was torn. When these empire thugs used torture, they put our poor country to scorn. And when they looted the treasury, a mighty new movement was born. Oh, what a day! What a wonderful jubilant day. Oh, what a day when Bush and Cheney went away. Oh, what a day. What a wonderful jubilant day. Oh, what a day when peace through justice is the way. Yes, they left the country in ruin. They lied and made profits from war. They lied about all they were doing, from 9/11 to Iraq and more. Now the country's got Obama and Biden. There's so much hope in the air, but trust in them will run out when they have no justice to share. Oh, what a day. What a wonderful jubilant day. Oh, what a day when Bush and Cheney went away. Oh, what a day. What a wonderful jubilant day. Oh, what a day when peace through justice is the way. It's not about the color of your skin, not looks, not personality. It's all about who you are serving and the truth about your policy. It's really all about exposing the lies that misled us before and stopping the wars they're imposing and serving justice once more. Oh, what a day. What a wonderful jubilant day. Oh, what a day when Bush and Cheney went away. Oh, what a day. What a wonderful jubilant day. Oh, what a day when peace through justice is the way. Now we've got a new face for the empire, the good cops replacing the bad. And once again there's blood on the wire. It's all so mad and so sad. They still use the lies of 9/11 to cover up all that is wrong. And they're still looting the treasury, but the movement for justice is strong. Oh, today. What a wonderful jubilant day. Oh, what a day when truth and justice hold sway. Oh, what a day. What a wonderful jubilant day. Oh, what a day when peace through justice is the way. Oh, what a day.
Len, is Vic there yet?
No, he isn't. Sorry.
Okay, well, I'm going to just talk a little bit about what we just heard and tell our listeners where they can find some of his work. I certainly enjoyed that song very much. What I liked about it especially was the way that it brought in a parallel between the Bush and Obama. And, of course, you could probably draw similar parallels between almost any pair of presidents that we have had, possibly since Kennedy or so. We go from one bad one to another bad one. And we think we're going to get something better, and it never makes any difference because the presidents really aren't the ones that have the power. But, well, that's another story. It was great, a great song, and I really enjoyed it. Vic is also is supposedly best known for a tribute song to Phil Ochs. That song is called Broadside Balladeer. But apparently he's written quite a few things, and you can find a number of them available on YouTube and other places. Just look for Vic Sadot. That's V-I-C-S-A-D-O-T. Apparently you can hear his songs and get free MP3s at Last FM as well.
Chuck, do you know the song Love Me, I'm a Liberal?
No, I don't. Tell me about it, Mike.
No, I don't either. But that,
oh, you don't know? Okay.
It's another Phil Ochs song.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And I don't know. And I wasn't.
Okay, I thought you were ready to chime in.
No, I thought. Okay. I thought maybe you did. But that's something. That's another. Vic's got a rendition of that song on his website.
Really?
Too,
okay.
And I sent him an email just now. I hope that he'll be calling in.
Yeah, I sent him one too. And he should be here any moment, I think. But
he's got some 9/11 truth and justice songs.
Yeah. I'm curious where he sings. You know, I assume he does some live performing. One of the things I remember best when I was when I went to Wesleyan University back in the early 70s was the music all over campus. And of course, since that was the Vietnam War era, an awful lot of it was protest music. And probably 70-80% of it was live. It seemed like everybody on campus, with the exception of me, could play an instrument and sing and so forth. I guess I'd get in there and I recorded a lot of them, but I didn't do too much original stuff myself. But I feel like today is not quite back to that time. We haven't quite gotten into the protest again, but who knows? It's possible. You know, things are certainly just as bad as they were then, as far as the government taking advantage of everything, locking people up for no reason, killing people. It's just disgraceful. We really have very little in the way of freedom anymore.
I wonder if the radio stations would play it.
Yeah.
I wonder if the radio stations would play protest music if it doesn't seem like they do. I mean,
do you think that there is protest music and it's not getting played? That's possible, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I'm sure there is. I mean, I'm sure that there's people like Dick Sado around everywhere that, I don't know, you know, it takes exposure to get anything
yeah.
going.
Okay,
I think
have Vic on the line.
Okay.
Good. Hello, Vic. Bet your ears were burning because we've been talking about you, and we listened to the song you sent us. And,
oh, great.
We'd like to hear more about who you are, how you got where you are, and, well, we'll take it from there. Why don't you start with us?
Well, my name is Vic Sado. It's a French name. My dad was from France. My mom was an American. I grew up in the States, born in Pennsylvania. Now I'm on the West Coast in Berkeley, where it's really happening all the time, pretty constantly. And I just released a CD called 9/11 Truth and Justice Songs, and I did that on September 11th for the 10th anniversary. I've been putting out some, you know, versions of that, homemade versions, but this one's factory burned, and it's available up at CD Baby.
Hmm.
So you can check that out. I think you gave links out in
I mentioned names, but I didn't give links. So why don't you go ahead and tell people the links?
Yeah, the cdbaby.com/CD and then vicsadot3. I know my name's VICSADOT3 and you don't pronounce that T in the regular way, but to get people to get it right, I'm going to pronounce it Sadat. Even though it grates on my ears. Vic Sado. Anyway, I got a new website. It's www.vicsado.com. So that would be VICSADOT.com. And been working on music videos. I first learned how to do that when I got to Berkeley. So I've got about 25 of them up there now.
Great.
It's become my passion. Plus, it's a nice way to represent visually what you want to say lyrically.
Uh-huh.
And I got a song called Courage to Resist that I wrote about Bradley Manning. It's getting some mileage. I just sang that over at Occupy San Francisco last week. And I sang Oh What a Day, the one you say you played. I just uh-huh. sang that over at a demonstration to close Guantanamo.
Wow.
So that's what's been going on. And Occupy Wall Street, of course, has been really something around here in the Bay Area. I've been down to the Occupy Oakland. I was down there the day that Scott Olson, the two-tour Iraq vet, or was it Afghanistan? I'm sure where he did his tour. But anyway, he was, you know, didn't have a problem getting shot over there, but then he gets shot in the head with a tear gas canister by our militarized police here in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
So in response to that, people shut down the port.
Hmm.
Hit them where it hurts.
Right.
In their bank account. So, yeah, I like what you're doing there. It's a great radio station you got on
here. Well, we thank you.
But
would you say the Occupy movement is alive and well out there then?
Yeah, they've been busting it up, but people still keep a presence at the places where they had them before. They don't have the tents.
Uh-huh.
And they've had these, like, convergence meetings of groups from various, you know, sites coming together and planning what's next. They're not planning mm-hmm. on going away. They're just changing some tactics.
Okay.
So just last Friday, even though it was raining, we had thousands of people over in San Francisco for an Occupy the Courts. We're all working with Move to amend the Constitution to overrule the Supreme Court's decision that corporations are persons with rights just like the rest of us, even
uh-huh.
though they don't die, they aren't really born, supposed to be commissioned by the government and subject to review.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you ever saw that movie, The Corporation?
No, I haven't.
That is a great movie. It's about 4 hours long, though. But it has, like, great historical documentary visuals of the Industrial Age, and it shows you that corporations were only commissioned to do a particular thing at first because they were afraid that they might take control. They were commissioned maybe to build a bridge or something like that, and they weren't allowed to be operate interstate, just in that state.
Mm-hmm.
But gradually, they overcame family businesses and small businesses and pretty much swallowed up the resources and had the government subsidize them. It's been corporate welfare for quite a long time. They don't like to talk about it that way, but that's the truth.
Yeah, well, that's certainly the way it looks, yeah.
Yeah, so had you not heard of too many of my songs before? Had you ever heard of Cheney's in the Bunker?
I had not. As a matter of fact, before today, I had not heard of you, Vic, and I'm going to be looking for, I'm going to grab a lot of downloads right now.
After
the show, because
Cheney's in the Bunker.
Really enjoyed that song, and it's great to hear somebody doing protest music. I was saying to our listeners before you came on that when I was at Wesleyan University in the early 70s, one of the outstanding things was all of the people playing protest music on campus, everywhere, but especially on campus. And,
yeah, well, that's where I got inspired back in my 20s when I heard of Phil Oakes, O-C-H-S, Phil Oakes. He's my hero and inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
I got to meet him in 1973, and I interviewed him.
Hey, that's
Georgetown
great.
University's,
that really is.
Radio station.
The year I graduated college. All
right. Going back, aren't we? Yeah, I got one called Blowback or Bloody Treason. I wrote after reading former L.A. detective Michael Rupert's 2004 book, Crossing the Rubicon.
Hmm.
And that Blowback or Bloody Treason just simply lists a bunch of things that should have been taken care of by a regular detective. Since it's a crime scene, you protect the crime scene, you look at who had the means, motive, and opportunity, and who benefits. Simple as that. You don't do all this propaganda around it to start a war and to get rid of the Bill of Rights.
Right.
You need a great detective on the situation.
Hmm.
We've had to have people's detectives. We've got great writers.
Yeah.
In the Bay Area, we've got a writer named Paul Ray, R-E-A. He's got a new book out called Mounting Evidence. I would definitely recommend that.
Hmm.
And, of course, anything by David Ray Griffin will key you into what is really going on about 9/11 truth and the lies, the distortions, the omissions, all of that. David Ray Griffin is the guy to go to for that. So
well, that sounds great. Vic, I wish we had more time to talk, but since we kind of got a late start, it's like, you know, a blink of an eye and it's over. But
That's cool. We
only
got to start.
Have a 15-minute slot for each guest. I hope you'll come back and visit us in a month or two.
For sure.
Because,
thanks for having
me. I hope you'll let us play another song at that time. Because enjoyed having music be part of the show, and maybe we'll try to do that a little more often.
Yeah, you need to liven up and get some of that emotional content in there. I sent you Courage to Resist, the song about Bradley Manning, too. You can check that out.
Yeah.
All right, thanks so much, Mike.
Well, this is Chuck, actually. That's all right.
Oh, Chuck. I was talking with Chuck. Okay, well, I've talked to three of you guys
too,
so far.
So, well, he's in Minnesota, I'm in Florida, but we're right here.
You guys are going nationwide.
That's where the internet is. We're all
that's
right
great.
Here.
Well, thank you, Chuck.
Thank you.
Carry it on, brother. Carry it on.
All right.
WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism.
Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com.
Now we bring you the New American Dream Masterpiece Classic Playhouse Theater Something Something. Real voices with a message that you will not hear on the CBS Nightly News. This is Bruce Cockburn, musician and songwriter. Here comes a helicopter, second time today. Everybody scatters and hopes it goes away. How many kids they've murdered, only God can say. If I had a rocket launcher, I'd make somebody pay. I don't believe in guarded borders, and I don't believe in hate. I don't believe in generals or their stinking torture states. And when I talk with the survivors of things too sickening to relate, if I had a rocket launcher, I would retaliate. On the Rio Lancantoon, 100,000 weight to fall down from starvation or some less humane fate. Cry for Guatemala with a corpse in every gate. If I had a rocket launcher, I would not hesitate. I want to raise every voice. At least I've got to try. Every time I think about it, water rises to my eyes. Situation desperate. Echoes of the victim's cry. If I had a rocket launcher, some son of a bitch would die.
James McMurtry, singer-songwriter. Vietnam vet with a cardboard sign sitting there where the left turn line, flag on the wheelchair flapping the breeze, one leg missing, both hands free. No one's paying much mind to him, the VA budget stretched so thin. And there's more coming home from the Mideast war. We can't make it here anymore. That big old building was the textile mill. It fed our kids and it paid our bills. But they turned us out and they closed the doors. We can't make it here anymore. See all those pallets piled up on the loading dock? They're just going to sit there till they rot, because there's nothing to ship and nothing to pack, just busted concrete and rusted tracks. Empty storefronts around the square. There's a needle in the gutter and glass everywhere. You don't come down here unless you're looking to score. We can't make it here anymore. The bar is still open, but man, it's slow. Tip jar's light and the register's low. The bartender don't have much to say. The regular crowd gets thinner each day. Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you got to have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores, but you can't make it here anymore. High school girl with a bourgeois dream, just like the pictures in the magazine she found on the floor of the laundromat. A woman with kids can forget all that. If she comes up pregnant, what'll she do? Forget the career. Forget about school. Can she live on faith? Live on hope? High on Jesus or hooked on dope? When it's way too late to just say no, you can't make it here anymore. Now I'm stocking shirts in the Walmart store, just like the ones we made before, except this one came from Singapore. I guess we can't make it here anymore. Should I hate a people for the shade of their skin or the shape of their eyes or the shape I'm in? Should I hate them for having our jobs today? No. I hate the men that sent the jobs away. I can see them all now. They haunt my dreams, all lily white and squeaky clean. They've never known want. They'll never know need. Their shit don't stink and their kids don't bleed. Their kids won't bleed in the damn little war. And we can't make it here anymore. We'll work for food. We'll die for oil. We'll kill for power. To us, the spoils. The billionaires get to pay less tax. The working poor get to fall through the cracks. Let them eat jelly beans. Let them eat cake. Let them eat shit, whatever it takes. They can join the Air Force or join the Corps if they can't make it here anymore. And that's how it is. That's what we got. If the president wants to admit it or not, you can read it in the paper, read it on the wall, hear it on the wind if you're listening at all. Get out of that limo, look us in the eye, call us on the cell phone, tell us all why. In Dayton, Ohio, or Portland, Maine, or a cotton gin out on the Great High Plains, it's done closed down along with the school and the hospital and the swimming pool. Dust devils dance in the noonday heat. There's rats in the alley and trash in the street. Gang graffiti on a boxcar door. We can't make it here anymore.
I'd like to welcome our second guest now, Kevin Barrett. Kevin Barrett is a former university professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He's a radio show host. He's an activist. He's probably the most, he's the go-to voice on the radio these days. He's the one where you can go to find what's new and what's edgy and what's true. Kevin, are you there?
Hi, Mike and Chuck. I can just barely hear you guys, so if the studio just can crank up the volume for me a little bit, that'd be great.
Okay. How about this? I'll talk if I talk a little louder, or is that or not?
Well, yeah, I can hear. It's still pretty low, but
okay.
It'll work.
Okay. Kevin, what's happening? Are you at the cabin, or are you out? Are you home, or how's that work?
Well, I guess I'm at the cabin number one. You know, I live in one log cabin and sometimes go escape to another one.
Okay. I was listening to some of your interviews and you were talking to someone about Wellstone, and in one of your quotes you said, "You goddamn better get a gun and shoot down those who did it." When you say things like that, or what are you trying to do?
Well, you know, I'm just living at a time in history when the most outrageous action you can take is just to speak the simple truth directly about these things. You know, you sound like a maniac just telling the truth these days, and there's something almost humorous about that. So that's why. You know, as a good God-fearing American Muslim, I decided to go on a truth jihad and just tell it like it is and let the chips fall where they may.
And another quote of yours is, "People over history took risks in pursuit of justice, and people in America are today not willing to take those risks." Maybe that has something to do with, are you thinking we're just not willing to do what needs to be done? Is that it?
Well, yeah, I think that all of the fear around things like, facing the truth about these assassinations, the Kennedy assassinations, the Wellstone assassination, and so on, in 9/11 and other big state secrets, it's not that scary. You know, people in history have risked their lives repeatedly to stand up for what's right or to stand up for their own interests or some combination thereof. People all over the world speak out and, tell more truth than they're supposed to, and they get hauled away and tortured and sometimes killed. And so here in the USA, it seems to me that the people who should know better, which is pretty much all educated people who are paying attention, certainly everybody involved in any kind of media, those people have no excuse not to know, and they have no excuse not to be speaking out, because it's not as dangerous to speak out about these things here as it has been in so many places. I just don't understand why they can cop out and, why fear should be silencing anybody.
In my mind, I think one night of Kevin Barrett on the CBS Nightly News and the world has changed forever, and I mean that sincerely. And last night I saw Stephen, I don't usually watch it, but I saw Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert, and Jon Stewart did a great piece on Mitt Romney's wealth, but then he had the author of a biography about General Petraeus, and Stephen Colbert had on the Newsweek author about, talking about an article that said why Obama's critics are all so dumb, and then he was praising Obama and talking about the death of Osama bin Laden and saying he had the guts to go do it. And people were applauding, and it didn't happen that way. I mean, it's not true. And then there's Bill Maher, and then the Progressive Magazine and Huffington Report, The Nation. It is so. Don't you think it's kind of, isn't it, kind of frustrating when even the guys who are supposed to be on your side just don't seem to be.
Well, yeah, those are the people who are really, in some ways, the most responsible for the problems, because they're the ones who, it's their job to be the supposedly critical media voices. And when people like these, progressive editor Matt Rothschild and Amy Goodman over at Democracy Now! and the editors at the Nation magazine. You know, these people all claim to be the left opposition, but when they're just putting up a phony, false opposition, and they're not standing up for the most important issues, and they're, you know, systematically disguising the way power really operates in the country, you know, then we have a real problem. And in some ways, I think those people almost are worse, you know, traitors and mass murderers than the people in the mainstream media. You know, it's a matter of doing your job. You know, people in the mainstream media should be doing their job too. But when your job is specifically to, you know, speak truth to power and keep power honest, you know, that's a pretty heavy responsibility. And these people just haven't lived up to that at all.
Why do you think that Stephen Colbert, Jon Stewart, Bill Maher, and Rothschild at the Progressive magazine, why do you think they don't tell the truth about 9/11 or the truth as we see it? Do you think they sincerely don't believe, or you think there might be some other reasons?
Well, you know, I think there's some kind of weird psychological complex going on with these people. It's partly that if they do tell the truth about 9/11 or these other big issues, they know that, well, for one thing, they may lose their nice place at the table where they get to pretend to be the sort of semi-loyal opposition, and they get well paid for their efforts. And so if they get tossed out, then, you know, what are they going to do for a living? And in fact, you know, speaking the truth about 9/11 is not just, you know, turning over your own dinner table, but it's really turning over the whole table where policy is discussed. You know, it's basically putting an end to the pretense that we have some kind of a free and open democratic system. And that's probably a lot more than some of these people can face. And then, of course, there's the Zionism issue. A lot of these people, you know, a vastly, you know, overrepresented percentage of the people in both the alternative and the mainstream media just happen to be people of Jewish ethnicity who've been brought up to be fanatically subservient to the state of Israel. And that's just deep, deep, deep into their psyches. And so for such people, just even the thought that it was actually, you know, Zionists and imperialists that blew up the Trade Center is probably just too toxic and scary to ever admit. You know, that even, you know, thinking about that, and the next thing you're thinking about is, oh my God, you know, there could be pogroms, there could be another Holocaust, yeah, 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 you know, they'll blame the Jews, blah, blah, blah. You know, so many people are, you know, are so paranoid in that way. And I think that whole mentality completely blankets both the mainstream and alternative medias. And I don't think it's all conscious. You know, I don't think people are consciously saying, let's protect Israel, let's lie about 9/11. I think it's deeper than that.
Kevin, where does power lie in the United States? Does it lie in the presidency? Does it lie in CIA? Does it lie in finances?
You know, I could barely hear that. It'd be really, you know, the static is louder, much louder than your voices, and so I'm losing a lot of the individual words, even if I can hear some of them.
Okay, let me try that again. Where do you think power lies in the United States? In the CIA, in the presidency, in the Congress, or in the people on Wall Street? Where does real power lie in the United States?
Well, you know, I'm not one of these people who think that there's just one place, you know, one central committee that makes all the decisions. I think there are power nexuses, you know, all over the place. C. Wright Mills wrote a great book called The Power Elite that looks at the way that people at the top of the military-industrial complex work with the top politicians and the top Wall Street lawyers. And, of course, they're the people who created the CIA. And all of these folks, when they need to work with the top level of organized crime, and then the top level of the media is pretty much bought up by a lot of the same big money people. There's overlapping ownership. Say, you know, General Electric, you know, owns a bunch of media. They also manufacture a lot of armaments. So I think there are a lot of sort of overlapping power centers, and they work together a lot of the time when they have a shared interest, and they all have a shared interest in lying to us and stealing from us. But they also can occasionally work against each other. Right now, there's a very interesting split in the power elite between the people who want to pursue a sort of, you know, American interest policy and people who want to pursue an Israeli interest policy. And 9/11, I think, was a coup d'etat by the people who wanted to pursue the Israeli interest policy. And I'm all in favor of stoking the flames of this schism in the power elite. You know, let's get them fighting each other. Let's use some divide and conquer against them the way they're always using it against us.
Kevin, we have to go, but could you tell the folks a little bit of a teaser about your talk February 1st at the University of Minnesota Duluth?
Yeah, that's called 9/11 and the Neocon Agenda. And I'm going to be talking about the neoconservative movement, which is an intellectual movement, and it's also a political movement that is almost off the radar. Yet, I believe that it's the source of the coup d'etat of 9/11. I think neoconservatism is really the most insidious force that's ever existed in American politics. And I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that the neocons are the new Nazis, and that they've turned the USA into something resembling, in many ways, Nazi Germany.
Okay, where will that be and what time?
That's going to be, I believe, 7 o'clock at... my computer is moving really slowly trying to find this information. I believe it's in Bohannon Hall. It's at the University of Minnesota, Duluth. And again, if I had a faster computer, I would be able to pull it up. People can go to my website, which is truthjihad.com, and they'll probably find it quicker than I will. There we go. Okay. It's at 7 to 9 p.m. in Bohannon 90, room 90 in Bohannon Hall at the University of Minnesota, Duluth.
Okay. Thanks a lot for your time, Kevin, and maybe we'll see you there on February 1st.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mike. Thank you, Chuck. It's been great. You guys are doing a good job on your show. I love it.
Thank you very much. Have a good night.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
What if we choose a world and future that had no war? What if we had a world where progress meant the fulfillment of our human needs for everyone, everywhere? What if we had a world where we find the teachings and great prophets of all religions have been our friend and mentor all along and not our foe? What if we had a world where the air is fresh and invigorating, the water pure and sparkling, and the skies clean and blue? What if the earth is untainted, clean and toxic-free from sea to shining sea? What if the food we eat nourishes, cleanses, and heals us from all ailments and there is no sickness and disease anymore? What if we enlightened ourselves about God as the greatest enlightenment of all? What if we make money and prosperity the way of life for every human being on the planet to unfold and evolve our highest and greatest potential together? What if we had a world where our compassion and humanity to all life on Earth is the key to opening the door to heaven and Earth? What if we find that our openness and unity with all life and each other is our natural high? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org.
Well, it's been a long week in Mount Liberty, Nebraska, my hometown. Kate King is the daughter of Jack Robert King and Cherry King, and Johnny King was her brother. A while back, you might recall, you might not, that Jack Robert King took his online podcast radio show on the road. He rode a bus from Nebraska to Oregon. He said he was looking for Bigfoot. Maybe we'll be able to find more about that story later. We're trying to. But he wasn't just going to Oregon to see if he could have a Bigfoot experience. He also wanted to find out the truth about America. He just felt in his gut that he didn't know the whole story, and he had to know. Well, he found out at least something, at least more than he knew before. And what we do know that after he returned, well, a few weeks or months later, he and Cherry and Johnny were dead, and the radio show was no more. Little Kate saw the whole thing. She saw it all, and she ran. She ran into the corn that afternoon, and she lived, and she suffered, and she survived, and she learned. And today she is very, very angry and very, very beautiful and very, very capable and so very alive.
The only problem with the running of the nation was the girl who had lived. The family lay in the road in the gravel and dust in their own blood. The three sprawled in not human poses, arms and elbows, legs sprayed out as if forced into unnatural forms, by the men who made the nation. The father and mother and brother, with their faces covered in blood, noses shoved into the black Iowa earth, eyes and mouths open, filled with mucus and wonder and disbelief. Just as it should be. If she had died, all would be well. All would be awesome. Nation's gears growled, screamed, enormous and oiled, cleverly meshed, showing signs of human genius. They ran and never stopped, but that could not go on forever because the girl had lived, and she grew stronger. Her bones and her blood would one day become stronger even than gears and oil and grease. They beat, and they grew, and they knew, because that's what bones and blood can do. The girl ran at first, but only for a while. She would turn and face her pursuers, and then they would become afraid because they saw the green steel in her eye. Those who ran the nation looked for her every day, all the time. The work continued. Every dawn of a new day in the nation dripped with immense possibility. Now the little girl was almost grown, and she stalked the nation, circled its campground in the night like an undiscovered wild animal.
Kate walked into the Quick Stop and rushed to the pens by the gum. At the counter, she stood behind two women waving little flags in front of their faces, whispering about eyeshadow, thinking about all the good done by the prison system. Without looking, Kate opened the plastic wrapper, slicing it with a red fingernail. She measured where the one woman's spleen might be through her thick corduroy coat. The women giggled at each other and the clerk and moved off out the door. Kate stepped up, now eyeing the plastic jar by the register that asked people to donate for a holiday package for the troops. Kate took her new red pen and drew a swastika on the white paper. Unsure if the cross Z's were quite right, she shrugged. The young man behind the counter watched her and said, $1.47. Kate picked up her guitar case and left. On the walk, she adjusted down her white twins cap with blood-red lettering and straightened her black cape with another shrug. Kate moved on with long, powerful, limping strides, back straight, eyes ahead. When passing men and boys stopped to stare, she acted as if she did not notice.
The crowd on the curbs grew like a swarming beehive. Soon the winter sun would turn its back and leave snipers to their business. A shocking fire engine horn blared somewhere down the street. The motorcade would not be long now. Out of the corner of her eyes, she saw the spot and went for it, glad for the chance to rest her burning leg. Kate found her perch, all planned out weeks ago, after she read about the big visit. She stopped, letting the hurried foot traffic find its path around her. Kate sat on the curb and rubbed dirt off her favorite red tennis shoes. She leaned back against the barren, round concrete planter and opened the guitar case flat on the sidewalk on one side of her. And on the other side, she set her coffee, staking a steaming claim to the space. She drew her weapons from the case, setting the white page notebook and sleeve of pens on the walk. She closed the case and set it down just so that on one side across the street, the people with their flags could see 9/11 was an inside job sign in red ink and black border on white paper. And the folks behind her saw, "This machine kills fascists."
With pens, red, blue, black, green, purple, now in her hands, behind her ears, in her mouth, on the sidewalk, in the street, Kate took her left hand and touched the clean white pad pressed against one bent knee aimed down the street. She sighted over the pad and began to sketch the wide street, crowds on both sides, each leaning to get a look around the next person. The walkway over the street connected the corporate bookstore to the city bank building. Kate drew big, dark clouds overhead, and inside the clouds, big, thick, black words around the edges of her canvas. Doom, despair, Dickensian, poverty, war, Tolstoyan, poverty, unfairness, Dostoevskian, misery, deceit.
On her side of the street, she gave birth to a family standing together, exchanging looks of anticipation with each other and the far end of the street, and strobing police lights. The mother, father, son, daughter appeared Neanderthal, with low, deep brow ridges over the eyes, like caves. They sprouted tufts of hair in unlikely places on the backs of their wrists, on their faces. Each wore either a gold or a silver cross around their neck on a chain. They wore red, white, and blue buttons on their white-shirted chests that said, "Murder." They darted nervous monkey looks all around and swayed their long arms, whispering, kissing, "Murder, murder, murder." In their big hairy hands, they sloppily held American flags on tiny sticks. Kate adjusted her bottom on the cool cement and curled her toes inside her shoes, staring yet harder at her paper world. She would have said she liked her green eyes like green lanterns. Fiery gems, fiendish, inquiring, the one open and laughing, the other devilish. She tugged at her cap and narrowed her eyes, aiming a laser down the street. Children dashed back and forth, gaining advantage over rivals for candy tosses. There'd be no candy today. Kate had silently given herself the nickname Avenger. She considered getting a superhero tattoo on her behind or maybe her neck. Kate's long hair glistened thick and black. She had a cheerleader homecoming queen face with revolutionary Russian coffee shop eyes. Erotic, piercing, doubting.
Her black cape buttoned around her neck. She wore black half gloves, home fashion, cut off at the knuckles. She wore her cap proudly. It was her dad's, white with red twins letters, adjustable. The cover of her worn artist pad pictured a stick person drawing in ink, a large Bigfoot. On the first inside page was another sketch, more like a child's doodling, of a group of three people stretched on a road with a helicopter above them and dot bullets raining from it. A cornfield runs along the road and a stick finger little girl stands in the corn with dots of tears falling down her face. A stick figure woman runs from the far end of the corn through the corn toward the crying child. Kate drew the new red pen from her mouth. On the top of her fresh drawing, she wrote "Vengeance" in large letters across the page, a banner headline. She underlined it and then again and again. She filled in the letters and traced them again, wider, deeper, darker. Three black and white police cars appeared under the walkway, side by side across the street, lights flashing. Behind them came a like phalanx of fire engines with horns blaring, honking like inherently angry geese.
They sat for a moment beneath the walkway, where an enterprising rifle person should be sitting, aiming, squeezing off round after round, thought Kate. But the thick glass was vacant. Shatterproof, likely, triple ply, truth resistant. Kate filled in the scene on her pad as quickly as she could manage, switching colors in a flurry, not noticing a group that had formed behind her, blowing breast puffs like a cattle yard in January, pawing and digging at the cement with cold feet, stuffing hands deeper into pockets, leaning hunched shoulders forward to see what the street artist was doing. "She's not very good," a girl told her father, who shrugged and looked up at the new sound. A cheer, a crescendo, a wave of voices rolling and crashing and breaking along both sides of the street. The police cars and fire engines and horns and lights inched forward, gradually revealing a third layer, a four-wide cabal. shoulder-to-shoulder black limousines with tiny American flags fluttering from the front quarter panel. Kate tried to stare a laser beam into the closed, darkened windshields of the vehicles, but still they kept coming. Kate drew carefully, as best she could, hurrying, sweating, needing to stop the progress of the parade. She concocted a woman standing in the middle of the street, fists dug hard into her sides, feet wide, staring straight into the flashing lights of the oncoming motorcade parade. A black cape fluttered from her shoulders. Her long black hair stretched out behind her likewise in the steady northwest breeze. She showed off a Bigfoot tattoo around her belly button. She wore a red mask over her eyes and black lipstick and rings on seven of her fingers. She wore cherry red tennis shoes and jeans torn at the knees. Her white tight t-shirt pictured an American flag and in bold, thick red letters, Progressive Avenger! Kate drew more slowly. She smiled at her work. She placed a shoulder rocket launcher on the superhero's bicep and did not notice a black and white police car pulled to the curb with lights flashing just behind her.
Kate shot laser beams from the Avenger's pubic area, striking down stick-figure cops with badges and hats in the street, bleeding dots and dashes. She did not hear the policeman and woman with drawn weapons moving through the crowd around her. Kate pulled a green pen from her ear and made a laser beam shoot from the Progressive Avenger's green eyes into the longest, blackest limousine still walking forward. The green beam penetrated the windshield and the vehicle exploded, caught afire, sending burning bodies and suits flying through the air. Okay, that's enough.
Kate did not hear the policeman behind her. The Progressive Avenger sent green rays into the other vehicles and they exploded. Hey, you come with us. The policeman grabbed Kate under her arms, dragged her to her feet. The people gathered around, cheered and clapped and pounded their feet on the sidewalk. The policewoman fell to her hands and knees to gather Kate's scattered pad and pens and tossed them into the guitar case. She closed it and brought it with her. She stood holding it next to Kate and her partner, next to the clothing store on the walk. You need to go to the free speech zone, ma'am, the policeman. Over by the tracks. He pointed toward an area a block away where Kate could see people holding signs. The whole country is a free speech zone, Zeke, said Kate. Can I have that? She reached for her guitar case. Thank you. She shook the case to hear the rattling of the pens inside. You can't stop me from being here, said Kate. Yes, we can. The female officer moved in and took Kate by one arm. A television crew set up on the sidewalk as the two officers began to wrestle with Kate. She fought them, trying to free her arms, leaning back against the brick building, letting the guitar case go. Some walkers stopped to watch. Let me go, Kate screamed. With the right arm, she slammed a woman in the throat, smashing her head against the brick building. Directing her attention to the male officer on the left, she was able to swing with both hands. She struck him in the face with a flurry of elbows and fists, nose, eyes, mouth, chin. The television reporter signaled her cameraman to begin filming the fight behind us. The woman officer pulled herself from the sidewalk and climbed onto Kate's back. Kate stood up and turned, slamming her rider again into the unforgiving bricks. The TV camera lights shined bright in the dusk. The light caught Kate full in the face. She could see on the edges the forms, shapes of a crowd. Behind it, the motorcade with horns blaring, more lights flashing, flags waving. The crowd roared its approval. The woman cop wilted from Kate's back. Arms and hands from the crowd reached in toward her like ghouls. Kate snatched up her case and charged through the mass. The Live at 5 broadcast showed Kate darting, dodging, stumbling, running, getting away with her cape streaming.
And that's the news from Mount Liberty, where all the soldiers are thugs, all the Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security, COINTELPRO, national TV national anthem singers are about average.
We'd like to thank all of you for listening to this, the last of our first year of shows. Next year is our next week is our anniversary show. Be sure and listen. Stop by every week, same time, same place. Be sure to stay tuned for Len Asanek and Black Op Radio immediately after this show. We'd like to thank our sponsors, James Boomey, World News Trust, and SpiritualUN.org. Thank you and good night, Mike.
Good night, Chuck. Stay warm. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org, come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org.